Let's put up that first slide so everybody know where we're headed tonight. You don't have a clue what the sermon's all about. I know what you're thinking. Wow, this is going to be a real hot sermon. Well, it's not going to be hot in that sense. And so I want you to understand the text that we read was 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. And it's on the basis of that that people have come up with an idea. Go ahead and put that text up about these angels that sin, that before God ever created Adam, there was war in heaven. And the devil, whose name was Lucifer, rebelled against God, and he came down to earth, and God got angry at him, and that's when he destroyed his first creation. And that's why whenever you get to Genesis chapter 1, the earth is without form and void, because the devil came down to the earth, and then God brought a judgment against the earth. And since the devil's been, since Lucifer's been cast out of heaven, then he's the devil, and he's running all over this earth trying to tempt everybody. How many of these stories have you heard? Now, they're all different versions of that, from Paradise Lost to Paradise Gained, is a famous writing from many years ago, and it's all based on 2 Peter chapter 2. Hang on, we'll get there in just a minute. I want you to know, as we look at the text, that there's an overview of the text so you'll be able to know where we're going. Look at the title of the lesson. You've already done that. But look at the title of tonight's lesson. It is Hell, 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 Hell. Now, there's another title we could give to that lesson. The first one is a Greek word, Gehenna. Second one is a Hebrew word, Sheol. The third is a Greek word, Hades. And the fourth is a Greek word, Tartarus. And I recognize Sunday night lessons sometimes are deeper by the very design of it. We have a lot of visitors on Sunday morning, and so we try to adapt a lesson that will really help them. And sometimes our Sunday night services are go deeper into the Word. And that's where we're headed tonight. Old Brother Nichols says to me when I was a young preacher, said, "Boys, when you preach it, put it down where the calves can get it and the cows will find it." Well, I'm going to try to get Gehenna, Sheol, Hades, and Tartarus down at a level so we can understand. You don't have to memorize these Greek or Hebrew words. That's not a part of the lesson. But you do need to know that there are four different words that are translated by the word hell. And so you look at tonight's lesson. Go back to that previous slide, and then let me just say, if you already know all of these things, these four words, just go ahead and tune out. If you're already got all of this, you don't have to listen. And I just put down here, just tune out. You've got nothing new to learn. But if perchance you don't know all of this, then I hope you'll listen to this lesson. We're going to dig deep, because you can't look at four different words without going deeper. But if you already know it, then my advice to you is, just enjoy your nap until we sing the invitation song. Now then, let's look at these words. For there are four different words that are translated that are connected to hell. And get that concept, because we're going to be using those words and hope we can portray it on the screen so you'll know which word we're talking about. There's one Hebrew word and three Greek words. Why Hebrew and why Greek? Because the Old Testament is a Jewish book. And so when the prophets spoke, they spoke in the Hebrew language. And so you've got the Hebrew Old Testament. And so you look at it, and as a general rule, the whole Testament is translated in, or was written in, the Hebrew language. In the New Testament, there are three different Greek words that are translated hell, at least in the King James Version. And that was the Bible that almost everybody used up until, well, the middle of the last century, and then all of a sudden we got all these more modern translations and everything. And so the old King James is the one that so many still read. And so we will point that out. But as we develop this lesson, we're going to use Hebrew word and Greek words to try to understand the topic of hell, 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 hell. Now look at those four words across the top, and then look at the next screen, because something changes. It is not hell, 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 hell. We've changed it. And so we've put up there the word Gehenna. This word is a Greek word, and it is always, in every translation, translated hell. When you think about the word hell, and the average person in America thinks about hell, they think of a place of burning fire and torment, perhaps fire and brimstone, perhaps a place where there is no rest day or night. And that is exactly the import of this Greek word. It's not the Hebrew word. It is the Greek word. Now, why you preach so much about hellfire? This word is found 12 times in the Bible. Do you know who used the word Gehenna most? Well, you ought to just preach like Jesus. You know, it ought to be good and fluffy, and everybody ought to leave feeling good. I hope you were not overly depressed when you heard that sermon this morning. It was not designed for that. It was designed to help us magnify what God has done through us for Jesus Christ and keeping us out of going to hell. That was the design of it. But why do you preach about hell fire? Because the Bible says, behold the goodness and the severity of God. We looked at that this morning. And the word for hell, Gehenna, every time it's used except one, it's used by Jesus. James uses it one time when he talks about the tongue. The tongue no man can control. If a man can control the tongue, he's able to control all of his body, all of that discussion over there. But it says, an uncontrolled tongue is set on fire by Gehenna fire. What does that mean? It means that bad language and this the tongue that is out of control is tied directly to the word Gehenna, fire and brimstone, judgment day. Now, this is not the only way heaven is described. There are other verses, and Jesus describes it more than anybody else, but he doesn't use the word Gehenna. But every time the word Gehenna is used, it's Jesus that uses it. And so you read your Bible. You've got a King James Bible. You need to recognize that it is Jesus who talks about the eternal place of torment. And then there are other places where he talks about, come ye, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. You know, from the foundation of the world, he talks about heaven. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, in a place prepared for the devil and his angels. That's, he doesn't use the word Gehenna. It talks about Gehenna. But it is Jesus who talks far more about Gehenna than any other writer in the Bible. So if you're going to preach like Jesus, you need to understand this. I want you to look at the four words at the top of the screen. Remember what used to be there? Hell, 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 hell. Now look at it again. This time it is hell, Sheol, hell, hell. Now, I don't know how good your eyesight is, but I've put the word Gehenna up there. You see that first hell? You see the smaller print there? Can you read that? Can you read and understand that? Lucas, can you see that word that starts with a G? Well, you've got good eyes. Well, should maybe ask somebody that is much, much older than you. You know, now, who would be much, much older than you? What about your grandmother? You think she can see it? Okay, she is really much older than you. Now, if these two can see it, I just want you to understand the outline. We've talked about Gehenna fire. Now then, let's talk about another word that is translated hell. It's not a Greek word. It is a Hebrew word. And when it is translated by the words hell, by the word grave, by the word pit, and it indicates that which is unseen. And so the Hebrews used a word and oftentimes you have to look at the context of it. I mean, there is a difference between hell and the pit and the grave. But they've just got the one word. And so here is a word. What does it mean? Doesn't have anything to do with fire. This word does not have anything to do with fire. That's Gehenna. This is the word that means unseen. Unseen. And so when they were coming to translate this in the King James translation, and they ran across this word unseen. And by the way, we're not ready to go to the word Hades, but Hades is the Greek word, the equivalent of the word Sheol. So you got two languages. Well, you got three. You got English, Hebrew word Sheol, Hebrew word Hades. And so these three words are used to refer, what do they refer to? To the unseen. Well, how on earth would you ever get in the Old Testament the word hell? It is rather ironic, and you've got to listen carefully to this because I'm going to spell a word for you. I'm going to spell the word hell in a way you've never heard it spelled. The older versions of the King James always use the word hell, never use the words Hades. Why would they use that word hell to refer to the unseen? Well, in the early edition of the English Standard Version, English Revised Version, there's an explanation about why they used this word and why they translated it. It says, we're using it this way because in the old King James, listen carefully, a man planted his crops, put the potatoes in the ground. I know they didn't have corn, but put the seed in the ground. And in 1600, and they put the seed in the ground and they held, H-E-L-L-E-D. They held them. You put the seed in and you held the seed. What you've been doing? I've been out helling my seed. I planted it, and I've got the kids coming along right behind it. What are they doing? where they're hailing the seeds. What does that mean? It means they're covering it up. Now it's not seen. And so the readers of the translator, when the translation was being made in 1611, the King James translation, that's why they'd come to this word, and they used the word in 1611 sometimes to mean to cover it. And you don't have to know that to get into heaven, by the way. But I don't see any of you sleeping because I think we're plowing some ground that you may have never been in. How did we ever get this word hail in the Old Testament? They put the seed in the ground and then they hailed the seed. Look at Tracy. They hailed the seed. That's what exactly is. She's signing the word hail. And that's what happened. And so it literally means the unseen. Now it's translated 31 times as the grave. 31 times it's translated hell. And the word pit a few times is found a fewer than 70 times in the Old Testament. Well, what does it mean? Well, let me tell you what Jacob said when they brought Joseph's garment back to him. You remember? The garment was covered with the blood. They wanted Jacob to think that a wild animal had eaten him. Where's Joseph? Jacob believes Joseph is somewhere in a lion's stomach. And you know what Joseph said? I will go down to Sheol to my son. What does that mean? Where's your son? He's in the lion's belly. That's not what he's saying. I will go down to the grave. And that's the way it's translated. To my son. Your son's not in a grave. And so he says, I'm going down into the unseen world. That's where my son is. And we see it read in the Old Testament. When you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. Where does it go? It goes into the unseen world. And then the body is placed in the grave. Now, listen carefully. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew in about 300 B.C., the greatest library on earth was in Alexandria, down in Egypt. Hundreds of thousands papyrus, scrolls of books, and written on sometimes on animal skin. Hundreds of thousands of books were in that library. There was a large Jewish population in Alexandria. And they wanted people who came to that library to be able to read the Bible. They loved the Bible. But it's written in Hebrew. Who reads Hebrew? Well, the Jews do. But what about the people that are down in that library? So they brought together 70 scholars. Does anybody know how you would write 70 using Roman numerals? Look at the screen. Do you see that long word that starts with an S and right after it you've got LXX? That's what you've got. That's Roman numerals. L is 50. X is 10, and the other X is 10 more. That's 70. And so this book to be identified was called the 70 book, or Septuagint. And if you read sometimes You will read the word Septuagint. What on earth is a Septuagint? Think, 70. Septa, isn't that the, sometimes a septagon, and that they're septs. When you have seven children, what do you have? You got a mess. You understand? But you understand? Septa is seven. So it's the word 70. And they referred to this. And they brought together the greatest Greek scholars. And they translated the Old Testament into Greek. And we have those Greek the copies of those Greek manuscripts in existence today. And it really helps sometimes as you read the Old Testament to understand how whenever they're reading the Old Testament, guess what they did? When they came to this word Sheol, they didn't translate it. Sheol, that's a Hebrew word. You know what word they put there? Hades. The word Hades means the unseen world. We'll see that in just a minute. And so Jacob says, my son, where is he? I don't have a clue. He's unseen. But wherever my son is, I am going into Sheol, Septuagint. I'm going into Hades to see my son. Where are you going? Into the unseen world. Now we got it. Greek word Gehenna. Eternal punishment, torment. Sheol. The unseen world. Now let's look at the start of the next slide, because now we've got we're going to talk about something else. Now we're not going to talk about hell, 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 hell. We've changed words. We've got the word hell, hell, Hades, hell. What's that? That's the Greek word. Now, Lucas, can you see the words, the small text up there? You think your grandmother can see it? Okay, she can see it too. And so that first hell, I've got the word Gehenna. That second hell, I've got the word Sheol. And now then, here's another Greek word. What does the word Hades mean? It means the unseen. If I'm speaking Hebrew and I want to talk about the unseen, I use the word Sheol, that which I cannot see. If I'm speaking Greek, I use the word Hades, the unseen world. And this word is found 11 times in the Bible where the King James translates it Hades. Well, now, wait a minute. Where does that mean? What's that all of us all about? Anybody know the Apostles' Creed? If you've got a Catholic background, if you've got the Episcopal background, Church of England background, Nicene Creed. I'm sorry. What did Jesus do when you say that Nicene Creed? He descended into hell. It's part of that Nicene Creed. Where'd he go? Well, the Bible said about Jesus, thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades. Peter quotes that when he's proving the resurrection of Jesus. He quotes from the Old Testament, thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades. When Jesus died, where did his body go? Well, we know his body went out there in Joseph of Arimathea. Where's Jesus? He's in Hades. It's an unseen world. Now, after his resurrection, he said, when they were trying to hold on to him, he said, I have not yet ascended to my Father. He didn't go to heaven. his soul went to that unseen world called Hades. And so as you read the King James, it's difficult to read that Jesus went to hell. What does that mean? Not Gehenna. He's too holy and pure to come under the judgment of God in Gehenna fire. What happened when he died? He went into the unseen world. What's that unseen world like? Where did he go? What's it like when you go to the unseen world? Well, I know one word to describe it. To the thief on the cross, he says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." What does that mean? That's not the name of a place like Pasadena might be the name of a place. That's not what he says. He says to the thief, "I'm going to die and you're going to die. And you've shown your faith in me." Now he says, "Today you will be with me in a paradise." What's that like? It's like a paradise. When you think of the word paradise, you just think it's really, really a great, great, great place. And that's what Jesus said to that thief. You've manifested your faith in me and the fact that I will be resurrected. And you said, when you come again to, remember me. Remember me in my Father's kingdom. That's interesting. That's remarkable, isn't it? It's paradise. That's one word to describe it. Wait a minute. There is an unseen part of where you go when you die that is a paradise. You remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? It's a historical event. There was a man named Lazarus. He was a beggar. I really believe there was a man named Lazarus. Not a parable. There was a man named Lazarus. He was a beggar. And he died. What happened to him? The angels of God were there. His soul is about ready to leave a physical body. And his soul was taken. What's it like where you're going? On the other side, he is lying in Abraham's bosom. He is in the place where Abraham is. And so whenever Jesus said to the thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise," guess who else is in paradise? Lazarus. Guess who else is in paradise? Abraham. And Abraham says to the rich man, "It's not good where you are. This is a place of comfort." He's been a beggar, covered with sores. The dogs came and licked his sores. And now on the other side, he is in a paradise. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Well, what's going to happen? Well, wait a minute. There's another side to paradise. Where was the rich man? In Hades, Luke 16. Where's he? He's in the unseen world. And there's a part of that unseen world that is a place of comfort. It is a paradise. It is where Jesus went. It's where Abraham was. It's where Lazarus was. Wait a minute. That's the unseen world. Is there something else that's unseen? Yeah, let me describe something else that's unseen. Torment. I am tormented in these flames. Let Lazarus leave that place. lying in Abraham's bosom, place of comfort. Let him dip his finger in the water and come and touch my tongue, because I am tormented in these flames. You know how many times the rich man uses the word torment? Tormented, tormented, tormented. What's going to happen when they die? They go into an unseen world where there is torment, torment, flames. That's Hades. That is the unseen world. Well, what's going to happen in the resurrection? All that are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. Who's in the grave? Everybody's died. Oh, well, that's where their bodies are. Where are they? They're all in Sheol, Hebrew. They're all in Hades, Greek. And in the resurrection, that soul will be reunited with a resurrected body. A body that God decides what it's like. And there will be open graves, and everybody in the grave will come out. All of those who are in paradise and all of those who are in torment will leave that place, and they will come back to a resurrected body. You know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen to their bodies? Matthew 10, 28, don't fear man that is able to destroy your body and not your soul. Fear him who is able to cast, listen to this, your soul and your body into hell. That's what's going to happen. All that are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. Well, Hades is empty. What's going to happen then? Death and Hades will be cast into the lake of fire. What's that? Gehenna? That's three of the four words. What about this Tartarus? I want you to let me read to you 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. The Greek word's found one time, and it is in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. It's the word Tartarus. If God did not spare the angels that sinned, cast them down to Tartarus, deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for the judgment. Is that the only thing the Bible says about this? No. About these angels that sin? No. One other verse discusses it. Jude, one chapter, so it's verse 6. The angels who did not keep their proper domain left their own abode. He has reserved into everlasting chains under darkness for the re-judgment of the great day. And somebody says, there it is. That's when Lucifer got cast out. Wait a minute. Did you read Lucifer? Did you read Lucifer being cast out to the earth and he's running all over the earth tempting Jesus? When did all of this happen? Well, it was before creation. Is that what it says? What do you know about this place? I know that there were some angels that God did not spare. They sinned. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, the angels did not keep their proper domain. They left the place where God wanted them to be. They left their abode. He has cast them down to Sheol. What's that like? Chains of darkness. That's what Peter says. Jude says, everlasting chains under darkness. For how long? For the judgment day. For the day, the judgment of the great day. And anytime you hear somebody say that Lucifer is the devil, the Bible never shows that. In fact, if you get outside the King James, you'll search long and hard to find the word Lucifer anywhere in any translation, for it's only found one time in the Bible, and it is not the devil. The Bible in Isaiah chapter 14 is where you find the word Lucifer. You know what the Lucifer is? It's the word for the morning star. That's exactly what Nebuchadnezzar was. He was raised up like a morning star and he ruled this earth. And then he was cast out. Nebuchadnezzar, not Satan. Isaiah 14, where Lucifer is found, says, take up this story, take up this parable against the king of Babylon. That's who Lucifer is. There's no evidence of that. Well, before the creation, they was cast out, and then there was turmoil, and then this earth was all upset, and God cursed the earth, and the earth was a place of darkness until God said, let there be light. Where's that found? When you read, listen to me, when you read this two verses, you know as much as anybody on this earth knows about what happened. And we need to be able to stop where the Bible stops. What does 2 Peter chapter 2 and Jude verse 6 say? There was a time that angels sinned, transgressed the will. How'd they transgress the will of God? They didn't stay in their domain. They left that place. And whenever they sinned, went against God, God cast them down. When did that happen? Doesn't say. Did it happen? Oh, absolutely. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt because the Bible in two different says there were angels that did not keep their proper domain. But listen to me, don't add to it. I remember what Brother Franklin Camp said so many times. If God didn't see fit to tell you everything you want to know about this, what are you worried about? He told you everything you need to know about this. And so when you get to this fanciful idea tied to premillennialism and the Lord coming back and there being Armageddon and all of this other stuff that's a part of a fanciful story created by man, it's not in the Bible. What's in the Bible? Tartarus? What's that about? Is Tartarus a part of the unseen world? I don't know, and neither do you. I just know it's a place of darkness, and that's all I know. It's described as chains of darkness. That's everything I know about it. What do I know about the unseen world? Sheol and Hades. It means unseen. And Jesus allows us to see some things in the New Testament of paradise and comfort. So there's a place, there's a good side of that unseen world and there is that place of torment, torment, torment in these flames. Well, somebody says, then what's the judgment day about? If you already know when you die, where are you going to go? What's the use of the judgment day? Well, can we talk about English law? When they find somebody that is guilty of, and he is convicted of terrible sins, he says, the judge says, sentencing will be 30 days from now. Okay, bye-bye, go out and enjoy the next 30 days. That's not what happens. You incarcerate that individual for those 30 days while he's awaiting the judgment day. And we got this parallel in our very culture that helps us understand that. You mean God knows whether you're going to heaven or hell? Yeah. Does he know when I die? Yes. Does he know before I die? Is there a separation on this earth between those who are godly and those who are wicked? Yes. The godly are in the church, saved, redeemed. God looks down, and here is that blessed ones who, when they die, they're headed for paradise. They're headed for a place of comfort. And the Lord's ears are open to their prayers. He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination to God. There's already a distinction. God already knows whether you're a saint. He doesn't have to wait until you die to make that determination. And you will know, likely you know right now, if you're saved. And that's why we look at this last slide. If you haven't done what's on this last slide, you're lost. The judge of all mankind says, if you don't believe, you'll die in your sins. John 8:24. The judge on that last day says, if you don't change your life, except you repent, you'll perish. The judge on that last day will be the one who inspired the words that says, if you will confess me with your mouth before men, I will confess you before the Father. The judge is going to do that. And it is the judge that says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Have you been baptized as a believer? That's how important it is. Because if you do that, then you're not headed to Gehenna. And you close the gates to hell when your sins are washed away. Well, I struggle sometimes with sin. That's okay. If we confess our sins, he'll forgive us. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. Like it cleansed us before, if we confess our sins, he'll wash away our sins. What have you done today? Pray tonight and pray it sincerely. God, I'm sorry. I'm going to do better. And you're pure as you were the day you came out of the baptistry. And you are as acceptable to God today as the day that you were born. There's no sin in your life that abides. Why? If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, his blood keeps on cleansing us. Hell, 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 hell. Can I tell you one English word four times? Heaven, 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 heaven. And if you're not going there, we'll help you tonight to get on that path. The baptistry is here. The water is warm. Clothing is here. You can be baptized this very night, and the gates of hell that await you will be closed if you'll just stay faithful until the day you die. If you're subject to an invitation, won't you come right now and tell us how we can help you go to heaven? Come as we together stand and sing.